put decisions on hold, kept ourselves from taking risks, and hesitated to put ourselves out there, relationally and creatively, because we just want to be sure of how things will go. Today, we're letting that go, because as hard as it is to accept, we can't always be certain. We're getting honest about how control, fear, and anxiety play a part in our need for certainty, talk about allowing room for a little bit of maybe in our lives, and share a paradigm-shifting statement about what certainty really is. As always, we wrap up today's pod with tips, and I share a reminder of the one thing of which you can always be certain. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill. Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill. I'm kind of excited. I have Crystal with me.
Hi.
And she's at my house.
I'm so excited to be here.
She's graciously sitting in my garage recording.
No worries. I got to hold a cat already today.
Yes. Yes, I do have a cat in the garage. But we are here. We are like doing power podcast day.
Mm-hmm.
We are recording for the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
In one go today. So I think that's going to be it's going to be fun and intense. We're going to probably learn a lot today.
We're going to learn a lot. We got the whole summer to process it.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Okay. And today's is, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's, I feel it. We are letting go of the need for certainty.
Let's do this.
Yes. Here we go.
Not easy, though.
Oh, no. No, no, it's not. This was one like an hour after we recorded the letting go of the need to feel 100% ready.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking about this one.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't go away. And I felt it very strongly that we needed to record it. Right. It was not an original topic, but it wouldn't go away.
Yeah. We need to hear it.
We do. I mean, and that's usually when that happens, when I resist something. It's mm-hmm. like, okay.
We're good at that.
But I tried to talk myself out of it because it feels really similar.
Mm-hmm.
Needing to be ready and needing to feel certain feels similar to me.
Okay. I get that.
But if, for me, when something similar mm-hmm. keeps popping up,
we need to hear it again.
Yes. It's like, especially when it's within such a short period of time. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. Okay, God, get it. This is something I'm crummy at. Let's let's do this. So we're going with it. We need it. I need to grow and change in this.
I definitely need this area.
I'm going to start with this. Greatergood.berkeley.edu said, our brains perceive ambiguity as a threat.
Mm.
And they try to protect us by diminishing our ability to focus on anything other than creating certainty.
Way to go, brain.
I know, right?
You're working against me. I thought you were for me.
Our brains. They're really not, though. I mean, they're shoving the negative bias down our throat.
Yeah.
And this, yeah. But I do. I get that. Like, ambiguity as a threat.
I get it, too.
We really need to change the way we think about that. Research shows that job uncertainty, mm-hmm. for example, tends to take a more significant toll on our health than actually losing our job.
Wow.
Uh-huh. But I get that because the not knowing
right.
is worse than knowing. Because then at least, okay, I know, I can take steps, I can move forward. The not knowing.
Wow.
Yeah. Similarly, research participants who were told they had a 50% chance of receiving a painful electric shock
mm-hmm.
felt far more anxious and agitated than participants who believed they were definitely going to get the shock. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Makes sense, though.
It makes so much sense. We've said that a lot, like the anticipation of the thing
mm-hmm.
is worse than the thing.
Right.
Almost every time.
For in real life, like.
Yes. All the time. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in our brains, the possibility that something bad could happen is actually worse than knowing the bad thing will happen.
And how many times do we waste our time preparing for something that could happen?
We're thinking about every possible
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know you got me.
Let me think about it some more, and then I'll overthink it.
Uh-huh.
So we don't need to let go of the like of certainty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, obviously, we're all going to like to know for sure.
Yeah.
But it's the need of it that's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that whenever I need something other than Jesus in order to feel okay, it's problematic.
Right.
So after thinking about it, I think if we want to let go of the need for certainty, the kind of person we need to be is flexible.
Ooh, that's a tough word.
Yes. It's not something I've ever been accused of being. So that's kind of where I went with my definitions today and my traits.
Because
it was kind of hard. It was like, well, what is the opposite of the person?
Right.
You had to come up with something. So here's definitions. Healing mind psychology. Now, this is the definition of the need for certainty.
Okay.
To know that we are making the right decision or that we have considered every possible option, lest we be unprepared for the worst or best case scenario. Huh. I mean, I get that.
But prepared, that even says for the best case scenario, which is what we always want.
Oh, yeah. Huh. But we want to be ready for that, too. Like, yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, we feel that to know that we are making the right decision.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we've all begged God to write it out in skywriting. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. He doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, so this is the definition of flexible. This is from truemyidentity.com. Characterized by a ready capability to adapt to new, different, or changing requirements and circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's life.
Yeah.
Our circumstances are always
right.
Changing. Capable of bending without breaking.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And Indeed.com said, having the ability to overcome stress.
Mm.
I like that link.
That's interesting, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here are some traits.
Okay.
And again, today's trait list is inspirational. Mm. Some are gut-punching, like, yeah. Oh, this is who you are. This is who we want to be.
Right.
I hope you're this person. Okay. Willing to change course if something isn't working.
Okay.
I mean, and that's, we stick with what we know, if what we know isn't great.
We fight change.
Yes, we do. Even when the change could be so good for us.
Yes.
Adaptable.
Mm.
And I put here, like, willing to roll with plans B, C, D,
mm-hmm.
to just keep going. Not afraid to change their opinion as they learn.
Big one.
Yeah, because we fight change within our thought patterns. And
yeah, we do.
Our opinions about things, even if we've been shown evidence that's totally contrary.
I mean, why do we hold on to that?
I do not know. Pride, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, and I put as an addendum to that, willing to admit when you're wrong or misinformed or that you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot. That happens a lot. And nobody ever really goes, how often do we go back? Hey, I'd like to admit I was wrong. Curious.
Mm.
We all need a little more curiosity.
We do.
Calm.
Love that.
I would love to be more calm. Not just when I'm sleeping. Resilient. Mm-hmm. That one's been coming up a lot over this series. Works through challenges and bounces back from setbacks.
Mm.
A creative, outside-the-box thinker
or
willing to be one.
Okay.
You know, if your status quo plan, like, okay, well, we might need to think differently about this and then change it up.
Right.
And the last one from Inc.com. I like this. They seek comfort in what is.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm a long way from that.
Right. I think most of us are, where you just have to, I mean, because it's acceptance, it's gratitude, it's content. It's a lot. You want to know how we got here?
Okay.
I don't have very many of these today, but I think the ones are, they're enough. Number one, we like control.
Oh, yes,
Shocker.
I do.
Shocker. We're going to be recording an episode on control later today.
I bet we are.
So we feel like knowing what will happen or why something happened puts us in the driver's seat. It does not.
Mm-mm.
But not knowing makes us feel powerless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do like knowing what's going to happen.
I like to be in control of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I would really like to just write it down and then that happens. Like turn in the script.
Once in a while it does.
Once in a while. Lots of times.
Most of the time, no.
Not so much. This one's really big too. We want to feel safe.
Yes, we do.
And that means we're afraid. Mm-hmm. There's fear.
There's the fear.
Making its appearance today. Psychology Today said, we want to know what will happen next so we can rest in the moment knowing everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unknown. Again, like it feels like a threat. It makes us afraid.
Right.
Because we imagine the absolute worst.
All the time.
All the time. How often do we imagine that things could go right?
Rarely.
I know. Makes me sad.
Actually, it is sad.
It's a way to cope with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I feel this too. I don't want to worry anymore. I'm anxious because I'm scared, and I'm scared because I can't know, and it's this vicious cycle in the story of my life.
Right.
Where we just keep, if I worry about it and I think about it, I can control it.
Right.
No, you can't. Is it making anything better?
No, it doesn't.
Is it making you worse?
Yes.
Yes. Worrying about things changes nothing.
Mm-mm.
Yes. And the last one is we are driven by the future.
Mm.
We are very future driven. One website I looked at said we crave information about the future the same way we crave food or other vices.
I've never thought about that, but we are always looking forward.
Yes. And we want to know what's going to happen and how is this going to work out and are you going to be okay and is this going to be okay? And the website said we get so hyper-focused on what's coming next that we miss so much of our lives making endless plans and preparations.
Very true.
Because and we're planning, again, for those situations that are probably not going to happen.
And we spend a lot of time planning for those. Oh,
and I just wonder how much of our lives are we missing because we're just worried about this plethora of scenarios that might not happen.
I'd like to think if we knew that actual number that it would stop it.
Oh gosh. It's bad. I need some truth. You need some truth?
I absolutely need truth.
Certainty is an emotional state, not an intellectual one.
I would have never thought of that.
I know. Like, another way to say that is certainty is not actually about information. Hmm. That's not what we're after. We're about the feeling.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. We want to feel okay.
I never would have put that together.
I wouldn't. I mean, until I studied.
Okay. You're now a feeling. We can deal with this.
I know. Exactly. Like, because we're not going to get the information.
No.
We're not. Madame Leota is not going to come and tell us anything.
Very interesting.
Uh-huh.
You just like rocked my world right now. Of like,
oh, yay. One for one.
Okay.
I think this truth is super important to remember when we're feeling certain about the situations that come up in our life that play on our insecurities and fears. When we got passed over for a promotion, when we didn't get invited to the get together, why the person didn't text back right away, we have an emotional response. And begin to tell ourselves a story to explain why our explanation is right. So we can feel certain about things that are not true.
For real.
But it makes us feel better to make up this story. But we're doing it emotionally. So she didn't text me back right away because she's super mad at me and hates me and our friendship is over.
Right.
And we tell ourselves that story because that's better than the ambiguity.
When really she fell asleep on the couch.
Right.
And didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emotional state, not an intellectual one. Not about information.
I like this.
I have more on this topic because this is big. This is like world changing.
Yeah.
Psychology Today said to feel certain, the brain must filter out more information than it processes, which, of course, increases its already high error rate during emotional arousal.
Mm.
In other words, the more certain we feel, the more likely we're oversimplifying, if not downright wrong.
That sounds pretty accurate.
It really, really super does.
We feel certain and we're 100% wrong.
Yeah. Whenever we probably but feel the most certain.
What we feel, that's,
yeah.
I've feel. Never put that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's we don't have the information. Mm-mm. We're making up a story in our brain to fill in the gaps. So this plays right into our negativity-driven confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. So the more certain we feel, the more vulnerable we are to noticing only the evidence that supports our beliefs.
Yeah, we are.
While ignoring contradictory evidence. We're just going to keep looking for the evidence, tell ourselves the story.
Hope you have a reason why.
Well.
No.
I don't know.
We'll see. I was hoping it was in there.
It might be.
We do that.
We do that. So we have to stop filling in the gaps with faulty assumptions, stories we make up, and feelings-driven narratives. Just so we can feel certain about something we don't actually know. I don't know why making up this terrible story makes us feel better than the ambiguity. But we really need to knock it off.
We do.
We need to. I mentioned this in the last one. We need to stop hurting our own feelings with these made up narratives.
I mean, I can think of just this week how many I've made up. Mm-hmm. And that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
Like I was. Making one up on the way up here. Making it up.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Truth number two. Mm-hmm. Our need for certainty affects everything. Mm-hmm. When we need to know how everything will work out, that alone, like typing that out is the like, most ridiculous thing on earth.
It is 100% true.
How? I mean, I don't know how my sandwich will turn out later today. I can't say that for certainty. When we need to know how everything will work out before we do something. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're never going to do anything if that's the case. Mm-mm. Our life will be really small.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you'll always play it safe.
I don't want that.
No, we'll never take any risks or be vulnerable or put ourselves out there. We'll force our kids. Oh, this one. Like as a parent, as like I'm facing the three biggest years of change coming for me. We'll force our kids into paths we feel are the most knowable or controllable.
Ooh, that those words hurt.
They do.
Okay, glad this topic wouldn't go away.
I know.
Huh.
Okay. We can end up stifling our creativity. And ignore opportunities and possibilities. Mm-hmm. We can close ourselves off to relationships because friendship and love are risks. Mm-hmm. We will always stick with what we know, even when what we know hurts us.
I think I've done all of that.
Yeah.
And that's not a congratulation crystal thing.
I know. Yeah, we're hurting ourselves.
I'm really good at this.
Oh, boy.
Huh.
Truth you need to hear, number two, you need to believe in results before you can see them. I like this.
Okay.
It's hard, but I like it. Healing mind psychology had such a good point, and I hadn't thought of it before, and it really convicted me. Learning requires the ability to sit in uncertainty.
Okay.
If you want to learn something, it means you don't know. You don't know how it will go, how you'll do, if you'll enjoy it, if you'll fail or succeed. Wanting to be good from the get-go or quitting means that you do not have to sit with the frustration, disappointment, and shame of not knowing. Tiny Buddha also painfully pointed out that people with a strong need for certainty tend to be quitters. It's
all of my projects that are sitting in a closet because I've never done it before.
Well, and you're not alone. This is...
I know I'm not
alone. This is universal. But reframing uncertainty as necessary for growth and a space in which anything could happen can actually give relief and comfort.
Okay.
Like, we need to learn to look at ambiguity as possibility and as excitement and as maybe there's more options than I'm thinking of.
And here's the thing, that there always are.
There are.
Like, last week I had to do a group project thing, you know, where
I read through it. I was like, okay, these are what we're going to do. And it's not that those aren't things that we're going to do.
Right.
But you have to bring in the whole team mm-hmm. from different aspects. And some of the things that people come up with, I would never, ever have come up with. And they were fantastic.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. Like, we need to be open.
We do. A book I just finished, a fiction book, talked about how, like, we trick ourselves into believing there are only ever two options, and that's the way your brain keeps your life really small. There's always a third option. There's always another door.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just this or this. It could be anything, and that's exciting.
I want more options.
I do, too.
Because my brain is limited.
Yeah.
And I hold myself back.
Yes. And I want this for me, and I want it for my kids. Absolutely. I'm trying to open up options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my oldest is looking at colleges.
I know,
oh, which is goodness. Insane, and I don't like it, but I right. do.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're just trying to, like, open more doors for her
mm-hmm.
and doing what's best for her, not what's easiest for me.
Right.
Just to give her all the options.
Tough. Yeah.
This is the most painful truth of today.
Okay. You've hurt me enough.
You can't ever know what's coming.
Oh. It's so true.
It's the hardest truth you're going to have to swallow today, and maybe one of the hardest truths we have to swallow, period.
But we know it. Like, we actually know that.
We just think we can change it.
But we still fight it
oh, yeah.
constantly.
Well, if I think about it long enough, I can figure it all out.
I'm going to worry about it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay up at night and miss a few nights of sleep. She laughs because it's true.
How's that going?
Yeah, it's going
so good. I know how that goes.
So good. I have my whole life mapped out now. And see, you might have your whole life mapped out.
But it will never go that way.
It won't. We've talked about that on the pod. David and I had this 5-year plan of, like, with pie charts and colors and graph. Not a one darn thing on that list worked out. Not one.
I love the dreaming of the pie chart and colors, though.
Right? We were like the most idealistic young 20-somethings. Like, this is how our life's going to go. Yep.
But what's kind of fun about that, though, when you look back and you're like, but if that's all that my life was, it wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have this.
Yep.
So I love dreaming.
Oh, I do too.
I'm pro dreaming.
Yep. You just have to be open that it's a dream, not a...
That there are so many other possibilities that we've never thought of that are going to come our way.
Mm-hmm. Maybe write your dreams in sand, not concrete. I don't know. You want some tips?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good tip right there.
Right? I would not have guessed half of how my life has gone. So
I don't think anybody probably would have.
No. I love this first tip. This is from Psychology Today. Again, a great resource if you're a psychology nerd. I love this line. Let some maybe into your life.
Ooh.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I really like that.
Oh.
Okay, so I loved what they had to say, and I wanted to share the whole quote. Just because we don't know the answer or we are unfamiliar with a problem, it doesn't mean it won't work out to our satisfaction.
Uh-huh.
Maybe what we are experiencing is good. Maybe it will get better. Or maybe we can find a new way to handle the situation and still be okay. Maybe we can take a risk. Maybe we can just peek at some new possibilities and see how it feels. Hmm. Maybe is an invitation to view life differently. It doesn't demand it. Instead, maybe is supportive and allows us to realize that the unknown has gifts and benefits. Sometimes this little word can become the platform for making new choices in life, because it shows us uncertainty is filled with hope and dreams that have yet to manifest.
Wow.
Isn't that so good?
I guess we definitely need some maybe.
Some maybe, just to view it in a different way.
Hmm.
Like, maybe there's something better than this plan I've decided is the only thing.
Hmm. Maybe you're right.
Maybe I am. Okay, tip number two. Try something new.
Okay.
We've had this tip several times.
Yeah. How much have we used it?
I don't know. I mean, we need to use it more.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some ideas. Do something you don't know how to do or have never done.
Mm-hmm.
This can be little. Sometimes right. we feel like, okay, well, I have to go take fencing lessons. I mean, sure, you can. But it could be like, I don't know why that came into my brain as the example.
Do people fence here?
I don't think that's real. Real thing. I picture like fancy people in Connecticut fencing, but maybe not so much here. But here's some little ideas. Like make a new recipe.
Yes.
Try a new board game. Mm-hmm. Read a different genre. Mm-hmm. Take the kids to a new park. Mm-hmm. So you can start real small.
Right.
By doing something. But all of those examples, you don't know how those things are going to go.
No.
You have no idea. But when you do little things, it opens up like, oh, okay, I can do bigger things.
Yeah.
Start coming up with multiple solutions to whatever challenge you're facing.
Okay.
I really like that. Multiple solutions.
Not multiple how it's going to end badly.
Mm-hmm. Multiple solutions. David is super good at this. I am not. I've told this before, like I get married to the first solution we come up with. And then it's very hard for
me. I've done that, yes.
But he's like, okay, so I've got this mm-hmm. idea. And if that doesn't work out, we can try this. And if that, we have this and this and this. Mm-hmm. How are you doing that? But it's really good. He doesn't crumble or fall apart.
Right.
Whereas I do. I like this. Look for opportunities instead of obstacles. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself what could go right. Hmm.
We don't do that enough, or I personally don't do that enough.
No, we're always about what could go wrong or why this idea stinks.
What could go right?
What could go right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't that, and then you're, that'll activate.
Change your mindset.
Yes, it'll activate your confirmation bias, and then you'll start looking at, oh, hey, that person responded really well to me, or I was kind of good at this, or that new thing was fun.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just try.
What could go right?
Don't believe everything you think.
Good plan.
Uh-huh. That's a tough one. Go back and listen to the episode David and I did on hurtful narratives because we hurt our own feelings.
Yeah, we do.
All the time. Focus on being present. Mm-hmm. Because it is. This problem has so much to do with living in the future.
Right.
Which we can't actually do. So you're giving up your present by doing that.
Right.
And the last one is the word that's been coming up in every podcast. I really think it could change the world. It's gratitude.
Yeah.
Psychology Today had these thoughts. Really, I'm quoting them a ton today, but they had wisdom. Sometimes we're so afraid of the unknown, we become fixed on what we don't have, mm-hmm. what never works, and what can't change.
Right.
And that's important. Some things can't change.
It's fair.
When we start listing what we're grateful for, we start to see the things that have worked out. Hmm. Sometimes we recognize risks that we took that we didn't realize, or beautiful aspects of our lives that manifested and blossomed from a place we could have never imagined. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen that.
Right.
It gives us some support and hope that life can work out and we have good things in our lives supporting us on the journey.
You would think with being able to see, because we've all seen those things, right?
Oh, yeah.
We do have wonderful things in our life, mm-hmm. but we still can't.
No.
We still stay the same.
I know. And we've all had, like, plans completely fall apart in our life. Like, we've talked, like, the ashes.
Right.
But we've all seen stuff come from the ashes.
Right.
But in those next moments where stuff's burning, you're like, nothing happens good for me. Nothing works out. When this amazing thing came mm-hmm. from this bad thing.
Right.
Hard to do. Need to do it.
Need to do it.
Okay. I've got my reel.
Okay.
All right. So I think I have shared this on the podcast before, but again, sometimes we all need to hear things
multiple times. Yes.
There are two words that have gotten me through the hard times. God knew. Mm-hmm. When things have not gone according to plan or fallen apart to be put back together differently, I found tremendous comfort when I remembered that even though it was a surprise for me, God knew what I would face and how things would work out. And as I think about it, those words can be slightly changed to help me find comfort for the uncertainty that lies ahead of me. I do not know what is in store for my children. I do not know the future of our church. Mm-hmm. I do not know what's coming or what new challenges await me.
Right.
But God does.
Yeah.
He knows. And he is the only thing of which I can ever be truly certain. So for those of us out there who still really want to grasp onto certainty, mm-hmm. there are a few things you can always be sure about. One, God loves you no matter what.
Yes.
And number two, he will never leave you.
No.
And number three, no matter what is headed your way or what unknown situations are waiting for you, he will walk you through them.
Yes.
Maybe not out of them.
Yeah.
But through them. Providing.
That's how we grow.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes that growth hurts.
It always does.
But he will provide you comfort and safety and the strength you need mm-hmm. to walk whatever path you find yourself on.
Yeah.
I will leave you with this thought from gcdiscipleship.com. We once learned to expect trouble because the days were uncertain. Mm-hmm. Now with Christ as our anchor, we can learn to expect joy, even if it's not here yet, mm-hmm. because he has made it certain.
I love that.
Yeah. Only thing we can be sure of.
I think like sometimes that's in the back of my head, but I need to put it in the front of my head.
That is
because when you're in the spiral, you're mm-hmm. in the spiral. Oh, and yeah. You can't see that. But sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to be like, okay, well,
It's going to end well. All right. This week, let's let some maybe into our life.
Let's let maybe in, and let's remember that certainty is a feeling. Oh, I so love good. That.
You know?
Because I can regulate my feelings pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I know it's a feeling, hopefully I can.
Well, and especially if it lets go of the need that we need the information that's not mm-hmm. really ever coming.
Or that we're making up.
Yeah. Oh, man. So let's stop doing that. All right. Have a great week. We'll be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.
For more hard, painful learning. Bye.
You've been listening to the Girl in a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcast. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Join the conversation by connecting with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Find us at facebook.com/girlonahillpodcast or instagram.com/girlonahillpodcast. You'll also want to check out our website, www.girlonahill.com, where we not only share each new podcast episode, but encouraging blog posts and links to any resources shared or talked about on the pod. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.